Father God, we just want to hear from you today. Father God, we want to come to know you more, get closer to you, Father God, today. Lord, I pray anything that's hindering us today, Father God, we just lay it down at your feet. Father God, nothing of us and all of you. Father God, praise and worship was awesome this morning. All the people singing out, just thank them, Father God. Thank you for the people. Father God, I thank you for the word today. I pray over Pastor Sean. Father God, I pray over the word that we just receive it, Father God, what you would have for us as we go out. Father God, I pray that you protect us as we go out today, Father God, and also anybody who's not here because of the sicknesses or any other reasons, Father God, I just pray over them as well. Father God, pray over this day, pray over the church, and we just love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jacob. I'll let Apostle know you chose to pray. I was tempted to smash chapters 5, 6, and 7 together. I really was tempted to do that, but we shall slow roll because I was eager to jump into deep roots. I want to go back to Moses to Joshua. I think it's important. And I want to go there so bad, but the Lord said, no, finish what you started. And I'm good at finishing some things I start. Like if you give me like an ice cream, you give me like a tub of ice cream, you say, finish that. And I'll go, I got you. I'll finish that. To my own hurt, I will finish that non-dairy ice cream. If you say, hey, did you finish digging that ditch in the backyard? It's 117 out. Did you finish that ditch? Oh, it's going to take me a couple days, you know. But for now, we're weekly on our new series, The Hard Road. This is a mini cap, right? Going to do a mini recap. Not like a mini cap like Ava. She's a mini cap. She's a mini Capozzi. Benaiah's not here. He's a mini cap, you know. Noah still's too, but he's still mini cap. Not a major cap, you know. He's a mini cap. But here's a mini cap of what we have for what we've got so far into the series. Just some small ones. God alone is in charge. God alone is in charge at all times over all things. That's good to remember because it gives me peace, but it's good to remember when I try to be in charge. And it's hard to remember when he says, I told you to be in charge and you know what you're supposed to do. And I often go, every time, God, I don't want to be in charge. Anyone ever want to not be in charge when you're in charge? Yeah, most of the good leaders don't want to be in charge when it's time to be in charge. Like, dog, man, I don't want to be in charge. Man, Red Rover said Dennis on over, you know? But God alone is in charge, and we got to let him be. We serve him, not the other way around. Yeah, we order him around with our prayers, don't we? Serve me, O mighty master of the universe. Do the things I bequeath of you, or I'll be mad and dissatisfied with you. Oh, no, that's painful, isn't it? We serve him, not the other way around. God does have ways and standards. Yeah, it was tough. Anyway, don't do that story at all. Caught that one, Lord. Thank you. But he has ways and standards, you know, that we can't determine, like, I like that way, but not that standard. Guess what? We can't get to go all the way back, refer to number one. God alone is in charge. And God alone has ways and standards. And sometimes they're not easy. Anyone find, like, ever read his ways and standards and go, oh, that's going to be tough for me. There's some ones that are tough, you know. And I had to let the pain grow me. 4, get a lifetime pass to your daddy's car wash and keep it clean. Right? Your father loves the sacrifice. But you can get a lifetime pass if you accept that. What he did for us. And every time you mess up, because you're going to mess up again. I don't know if you guys got baptized. Notice this. Did you? I don't know how long it took you to mess up from the time you got out of the water, but usually it's like an hour. Right? You're going to mess up, but you got a lifetime pass to go back to the car wash and you make it right again. Come on, right? Number 5, faith in Jesus is what God said and is what makes us righteous in his sight. God alone said faith in Jesus makes us righteous, not our deeds, right? It's our heart. If your heart's right, you usually do the deeds. But just because something's doing the deeds, it might just be lipstick on a pig. Ooh, mini cap. It's hard. But here's the episode title, What Are You Producing? Romans 5, 1 through 2. What are you producing? Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, if you've been following this series, I feel like he said that 1,000 times. Romans is repetition. It's the point of faith is being like repeated time after time on the hard road. And so often, isn't it shocking as a kid how often you need to remind them of rules you already gave them? And you got to remind them, I said no cookie after dinner, but it's so good. I want a cookie. No, go outside. Half hour later, hey, can I have a snack? Yeah, can I have the cookie? No. Did you just forget the rule? You're just here a second ago. That's how we are. But I don't know if that's the reason. Why is all the recapping? Why all the emphasis on this over and over again throughout the whole letter? Is Paul just recapping because he's getting old? Come on, I'm one of those people. I repeat that story like, Dad, you already told me that one. Just like a half hour ago. I did. I don't think Paul's going saying senile. I forgot I told him about faith. I'll tell him again. I don't think that's it. Is he just recapping because he's like a great sermon speaker? Or is he recapping to emphasize things that are really important for our heart to get down? Because the letter of the law isn't as important as the heart that it's supposed to display. So he wants to know the letter and have the heart. And he wants to understand faith. And he needs it to get it down in white, because faith alone in Christ saves your heart, saves your soul, gets you a free pass to daddy's car wash. You didn't buy the pass. He did. And he's hammering that home. He says, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done, what he alone has done for us. That's the gospel's whole point. If you're like, what's the gospel? That's summed up right there. It's a vitamin gospel. It's a mini cap. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ alone has done. Whew, that's the gospel. That's good news. All right, right there. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done. Do you believe that? If you believe that, then have you surrendered your life to him as Lord, supreme controller of you? There's believing that. I believe that. Then there's like, if you believe that, you know that's really true, then you're going to have to change something. It's like, I got to be baptized. Why? Because I got to change something. I got a lordship transfer. I believe that now that that's truth. And now he's master. That's what Lord, it doesn't sound great, does it? But the word Lord means master controller. Who loves to be controlled in any way? Not a hand. No one. That's how we're built. Oh, full-grown man, don't tell me what to do. I'll have another piece of cake. Come on. Ways and means. I have my own ways and means. Yeah, you do. You end up in a pigsty every time you use them. But do you believe that, and have you surrendered him as supreme controller, the choice maker of our life? We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done. Jesus is the only way for anyone to have peace. You'll never have peace with God without Christ. There's no other way. He says it's, that's a narrow way, right? Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. Say undeserved privilege, where we now stand. I'm the church. If you're really the church, we understand that. Jody Wilskendorf and I cry about it on a regular. We don't deserve anything. God gave us everything, and we deserve nothing. If you let, you know that, if you really found Christ when you say, though he knew another thing for me, but save my soul, I don't deserve another thing. You understand how humble your place was when you came to him. You can't come to him not humble. You can't come to him with your act, I did this for you, I did this, and I sacrificed this, and I sacrificed that. I don't know you, man. I don't know you. Undeserved privilege where we now stand, and confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Here's some hard questions. Hard questions for the life's hard road. You ready? Do you look forward to the afterlife? His church should. Say, I am. His church. And if you can't answer that confidently, that should make you nervous. That should cause a pain in your heart to go, I want to be confident. Christ alone and what his sacrifice has done does that. Nothing we do. It's getting hammered home. But if you don't look forward to those, how about this? Are you confident where you're going to spend it? Do you know? Like, there's an afterlife, but like, I think it's the aliens. They're talking about that all over Sedona. It's not the aliens. Are you confident in where you will spend it? Do you believe that God is truthful? You can trust his word. Here's a hard one. How joyfully do you serve him? 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 Look at your neighbor and say, how joyfully Do you serve them? And smile when you say it because it sounds better. The church should confidently and joyfully look forward to God's glory and his words, and we want to keep all of them. But isn't that amazing, right? That's just two verses. We could have hung out there and just chewed a while. I could talk stories about how we should do things joyfully that have been hard in our life, but we do them. I need fussy first, then joyful later. I always go fussy. Usually it's fussy, and then I go, darn it, I was fussy. Anybody else? I'm the only fussy one here. Thank you, Dave. There they go. Okay, good. I just don't know where my people at, you know. The fussers. Romans 5:3. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials. Say, huh? We can rejoice. It's a choice. We can rejoice. It's a choice. You know, it's easy to rejoice. It was so easy to rejoice when the Sixers beat the Celtics. I had no problem rejoicing. I was like, what? Well, I texted everybody. Hey, guess what happened? Rejoicing over here. You know, it was easy to do that. It was easy to rejoice when God came through and delivered me from a kidney stone. I was like, hallelujah. But how often can we rejoice when we run into problems and trials? How many are stoked eventually or happy or embrace it? Or how many go through trials for Jesus, but you let everyone know, man, I'm going hard and ain't nobody know the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. Jesus is with me. He's got the wheel. Sometimes I take it from him, but we drive together through my life of pain. How often is that the sound of a Christian song in your life? When you're in stuff, I'm not saying don't share it, don't eat it, don't go to the ER when you need to. But how joyful are you? And I try to remember that. I try to remember that always. No matter a nurse sticks me four or five times with a needle, how often do I say, thank you, appreciate you? I go to hospital administrators and say, oh, what a great job they did. Why? It's important. Now, I wish I did that when trials come my way that I want to deal with. When leadership stuff comes out, I'm like, I don't want to do that. I'm going to pass that off to Wilsoncroft once again. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials. We know that they, the trials, help us develop endurance. The trials help us develop endurance. What do the trials do? They help us develop endurance. So what are you producing? Is the church producing endurance? Dr. Heidi said this been the last week with the baptism. She said, make sure you remind the candidates that the statistic is right after baptism, within 2 weeks, they stop coming to church. And then before you know it, they stop serving God. Why? Because there's a battle for their soul. And then the enemy lost some soldiers and he wants them back. And you didn't put things in your life and slip slide in away back to the pigsty. The road's hard. How consistent is your follow of God? Is the church producing endurance? The word endurance means this. Am I producing lasting power? Do I do it when it's hard? Do I show up when I'm supposed to? Even when it's difficult. It means to have stamina, to bear up, to be able to put some weight on your shoulders and take it, to take it, to take it. Sometimes you got to take it. He wants to know what you can take and how joyfully you're going to take it. Why? Because if you know he's a good father, he's building something in you called character and endurance. And it's not easy to do that, right? Tristan, the games are fun, right? Practice, most of the time, when it's a real hard practice, don't listen. You do. It kind of sucks. Endurance, resilience. Do I bounce back quick or am I mopey for a month? Oh, I just had a kidney stone. Everyone should send me chocolate.
No.
It says to have fortitude, strength. When the wind blows, when you get pushed, can you stand still and not push back? Or when the Lord says push back, do you have the strength to push? Or is the church fussy? Or is the church weak? I wrote this down so I would say it. Or is the church weak little rebels with no constitution to grow any stronger? With no constitution to get any stronger than I already am. I'm fine where I'm at. Don't grow me. I don't need to be stronger. I'm fine. Oh, no. For what's coming ahead, he needs the church to be much stronger than we are. We get offended by small things. Did you get that? They did not nod. When I said that joke on stage accidentally, someone frowned at me. They should leave the church. They should be here. I get that offended? But don't we? How much little pain can set us off our game? I know. Say, I'm the church. What's being produced in us? Is it endurance? These are hard questions. Is joy expressed at all in my life, especially when trials and troubles come? They're supposed to produce what? Endurance, strength, resilience. But I think sometimes, like I said, they produce this in my life. Stress, grouchiness, confusion, fussiness, blame, or depression. Anybody else relate to those things? Sometimes that produces in you? The Lord said, I can change that. If you look at the trials in your life, and no matter what goes on, and you know I love you, whatever's coming on, what I'm trying to do is strengthen you. So you know me at a core level. You can trust me in the hardest times of your life. I will not leave you or forsake you. And if you get through this, your strength is going to help have some fortitude to draw someone else. Because I guarantee wherever your strength was needed, you're going to pass that hand to somebody else and pull them up. And they need you strong to pull them up. But it's all about us sometimes. Say, Holy Spirit, please give me your perspective. Yeah, we're only in verse 4. It's a hard road. We're in 4 now. Boom. Verse 4. Bean footage. Romans 5, 4 through 5. And endurance develops strength of character. So the stuff produces endurance, right? What's endurance supposed to produce? It develops. It's not an instant thing. It's a development. It takes time. Yeah, a lot of time. It develops strength of character. Say this with me. Boy, the church needs more of that. Real character. Not perfect. Nobody's Jesus. Going to mess up. Man, if you're doing 80% of the time, you're like Jesus, you are killing it. And some of us, we get 55, we're doing better than we used to be. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead us to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us. Do we? He gave his only. That's, remember the gospel? It said, barely would a man die for righteous somebody than unrighteous, but he did. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. What's the Holy Spirit for? So you can speak in tongues? No. Is it so you can prophesy? No. So you can raise the dead? No. All those things are great, and I hope the Lord calls you to it sincerely. And I've seen those kind of miracles in my life, and it's been wonderful, and I know some of your miracle stories, and it's great. But the purpose of the Holy Spirit is not all of that. The purpose of the Spirit is what? To fill our hearts with love. And love sometimes is tough. I watch my son discipline his son, and he was smiling at him all cute, but he had smacked him in the head with something. And his dad had to say, no, in a firm way, because the first time he thought, oh, you're just playing, I'll smack you again. He's like, no. And he said it in a way that his little lip quivered and tears came down and Papa wanted to rescue him. But I knew I couldn't. You know why? Because that pain was good for him. That was good parenting. You got to do that sometimes. It's not easy. That's love. See, my love at that point was Papa be like, come over here. I do have a cookie. Don't rub out the real love that was given right there. Well, I know I could go, well, you know, I won't. But I was with Apostle John too long. I went back with ways, you know. Romans 5, 6 through 9. When we were utterly helpless. Remember that? Remember when you were utterly helpless? Remember that time? Times? All those moments? When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us. Man, he did it thousands of years ago, but when I first met him, he did it right then, right there for me. Right then, right there for me. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. Who wouldn't get their feelings hurt, you know? Nana, please don't get your feelings hurt. If you're tough, you can take it. Everyone love Nana. How many want to die for her? Oh, you got a few takers, Nan. So I'll let you know. If it comes up, I'll give you their names. But see, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't the whole room. Why? And love, we love her. It's hard to die for someone who you think is awesome. Most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. Though some might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. Maybe. But God showed us his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us. Die for us while we were still sinners. While we were flipping him off. While we were cussing him out. While we were doing whatever we were doing that we knew we were supposed to be doing. And we knew it. We were in the pigsty. And he said, yeah, you're still a pig and you're going to be a pig. I'm going to die for you. And you'll find me someday. And I'll wash you up and you won't be a pig with a lipstick. You'll be my son. Die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. If he isn't your Lord, this is hard to hear on the hard road, then by default, you choose him as your condemner. That's the real choice. That's hard. If you don't choose him as your Lord, then by default, you choose him as your condemner. Because remember earlier in Romans, there will come a day. Don't know what that day is, and anybody on the internet says it is, and it becomes up and shakes your hands to their prophet Billy Joe, and they know the day. Try to nicely pray for them and get out of that conversation. But if we don't choose him as Lord, then we choose him as condemner. Say this with me. Choose wisely. Romans 5:10. Doing it in the old King James, because I felt it. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, say much more. Much more being reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. I'm going to go right into verse 11. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. Reconciliation means I'm back in right standing. I'm in good connection with him. There's nothing between us any longer. You know, ever have aught with somebody and you haven't really patched it up and it's awkward in the room? He said, there's going to be no awkwardness. I know all you're nasty. You come to my car wash. I washed your car with my son's blood. I washed it. I know what it is, but I'd like to be reconciled with you. I don't want to just clean you. I want to be with you. Isn't it time to receive that? Don't stay condemned. Don't stay condemned. Forgiveness from God is great, but reconciliation say much. Much more. Reconciliation is more. Romans 5:12-14. I'm doing so good. I could probably slow down. Wilson Croft. I could get in it. Therefore, as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin. Here's a tough line. So death spread to all people. Death spread to all people. What? Because sin spread to all people. Would the sinless raise their hand? You see what I mean? No one being able to stop it. Imagine that. You couldn't stop it. You see something and you just can't stop. Ever been there? You saw something terrible about to happen. An accident, something in front of you. I've seen these kind of things. And you could do nothing to stop it. And it's going to wipe out all mankind. And God said, I alone can stop that. Spread to all people. No one being able to stop it. Or escape its power because they all sinned. Never stop being grateful for your forgiveness. Never stop escaping that. Sin was committed in the world before the law was given. Sin is not charged where there's no law against it. Yet death ruled over mankind. Before you knew Jesus, how ruled were you by your feelings and emotions and your habits? That's all that dictates us. 100%, that's where we become feral. You know? Rules mankind. It ruled from Adam to Moses. Even over those who had not sinned as Adam did. You know why? We like to bust on Adam. But if it wasn't Adam, it would have been me. And if it was Adam, I don't know how you feel about yourself, but it would have been you. Your sin is your sin. I don't know what tripped up Adam, but I know maybe you know what trips you up. It tripped you up this week again. Have you sincerely taken it to your father's car wash? and get a new relationship back on with him again. But it's not Adam's fault. Adam's a type of Christ that was to come, but in reverse. Adam brought destruction. Christ brought salvation. Say booyah. Booyah. Romans 5, 15 through 17. You enjoying the Hard Road series? We probably get more best speakers back in, Eddie. I think it would be better. But the free gift is not like the trespass. Say, Jesus is better. The free gift is better than the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have come through the grace of God. And the free gift by the grace that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. What's it mean? The gift was free to whoever receives it, but it wasn't free for him. It cost him. See, that word free gift sounds like, you get free gifts all the time. You don't even want to take them from people. Someone's trying to hand me a free gift through the drive-in the other day. I'm like, I don't want that. And they're like, you got it. It's your free gift. I'm like, what is this free gift? You know, it's this cheesy little dollar store thing, you know? Come on, free gift. It's your advertisement on there, you know? It wasn't free for him. It cost him. But it was free for me. He paid the bill. That's the gospel. He paid my bill. My bill he paid. And the free gift is not like the result of one man's sin. Like I said, it's not one guy who did it. It's not Eve, that woman you sent me. It's none of that. If it wasn't Adam and it wasn't Eve, it would have been Jake. Right? Would have been Jake. Would have been Hallie. Would have been Kaylee. It's hard to believe, but it might have been Kaylee. I don't know. Definitely would have been Pastor. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. You know what that means? Doomed. Consequences of doom. Your life is doomed now. You're doomed. It brought condemnation. Doomed to the consequences of my sin. You have to. Dr. Heidi uses this analogy in our counseling sessions because it helps hit home a little bit about consequences. You can be honest. I don't think there's any police officers here today. Plus, they can't arrest you anyways after this fact. But how many of you go down Delaware right here? This is 25 or 15 over there, Phelps, or any of those. How many of you go exactly 25 and 15? Three. Four of you. How many of you on the highway go exactly 65? No more. Not 66.2. 65. Oh my goodness. None of you. And you know why this is the analogy? She said, no one does that because they don't. If they get caught, the chances are like 1 in 1,000. They're probably going to catch Jake first. He's going faster. Christian's way ahead of me in the truck. They're going to bag him first. Woo, follow Christian. If we do get caught, what is it, like a $150 fine? If it's four, it's not as much as my emergency bill was, then that's $500 for, hey, you got a kidney stone. Yeah, I know. But say it was a $500 fine. You may slow down for like 2 weeks. And you'll say this, they probably won't catch me again. It's only $500, you know? But what if the consequence was, if you get caught one time going 66 or above, we're going to take your license for the rest of your life. And you will never have it again, and you will never get it back. How many of us would be tempted to go, I want to say 65. I like driving. I don't want to be walking to Walmart. Some of you live in Phoenix or work in Phoenix. Imagine that walk. You see, the highway would be like chill. Everyone's going 65. They're playing Marley tunes. They're happy. No, they're not. They don't want the consequences. See, consequences should shape our lives sometimes. They need to be painful. They need to cost us something, or we'll keep being knuckleheads. Any knuckleheads with me? Knuckleheads. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification, just as if I never sinned. Right? For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, say much more. Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace, the free gift of righteousness, reign in life through this one man, Jesus Christ. He said, you can do it. You can actually live this life. The power to live life is going to come into you, and you can actually do that. Instead of falling to hard things, you can overcome hard things. You can give people my hope that they can overcome hard things. If you are like in the middle of a hard thing right now and it seems impossible to overcome, don't raise your hand here. But if you've recently overcome a hard thing that seemed impossible to overcome, could you raise your hand? There are people around you that can say, you can do that. Why? Christ. Every one of those hands went up. We're going to talk to you about Jesus and how he helped them through their hard season. Because we don't avoid hard seasons as Christians. Actually, we're called to a hard road that brings pain a little bit sometimes, right? The free gifts we receive, most of them are like that shabby little keychain or a squishy thing, you know? Or they think everyone's ADHD. They pop out these little poppers. And then all of a sudden I become it. And I can't stop popping it. That was a good one, you know? But the free gift of eternal life, the free gift of eternal life, we won't take the free gift of eternal life in exchange for our garbage. Think about that. We won't take the free gift of eternal life because we like our garbage too much. Exchange your garbage for the free gift of eternal life, and we have a hard time giving up our garbage. Right? Just being honest. That's got to change. If we're ever going to become stronger and better and more like him and more joyful in the trials, we got to let our garbage go for the free gift of life. It's just garbage. Say this, Holy Spirit, help us. Yeah, help us. We need it. Romans 5:18. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to the justification and life for all men. We just got to receive it. Paul in God's word is hammering this point home. You hear it over and over again. It's like this repetition thing. He's hammering this point home that Jesus is the only cleaner. He's hammering the point home that faith and believing that is the more important thing over deeds. He's hammering home that truly believing will change your life and then you'll naturally do good deeds. He's hammering it home. He's hammering this home. When a teacher would say, hey, this is important, it's on the test, and they say it four or five times, it's your fault if you blow the test. He's hammering this home. Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were they were made sinners, but by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. I actually had got a picture of the Apostle Paul writing this. It's actually, boom, there he is. He's hammering it. He's jackhammering this home. He's like, I'm going to make sure they get this. This is so important for their lives. He's hammering it. What's the point? Right standing with God is found only in faith in Christ. Never forget that. Let your heart be captured in good deeds to serve him as master and Lord. As your master and Lord tells you to do something, you do it and go do those good deeds from a right heart. But if you think you're going to get to heaven because you did something well or you didn't do something, or you went 65 and not 66, you're missing the whole point. Missing the whole point. Faith in Christ alone. Romans 5:20 through 21. Now the law came in to increase the trespass where sin increased. So here, check it out. This is what this means. As soon as the law was written, as soon as it was given, sin stock went up. As soon as someone said, don't do this, everyone went, oh, let's do that. Sin stock went up. As soon as the list of law came out, they go, how far can we get close to it? Any of you guys that live close to the line? Like, you know, don't do that. Me and Christian. Yeah, I knew. Thank you, brother. You know, like, there's the line. And I went to Catholic school. And I was disobedient many times. And I would ask for the line. Well, no, I would get told the line. And I go, can I get over this way a little bit? The line's here, but my foot's just barely over. Anybody else? Yeah. As soon as the law came out, sin stock went up. The rules are out. Let's break them. Grace abounded all the more, though, so that as sin reigned in death, grace might also reign through righteousness. Righteousness, which actually leads to eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's hard. You might be a rule pusher. But grace is more. If you want God's grace to overcome, it's there. Jesus, there's nothing, nothing in your life that he can't overcome. Not a thing. His grace is available. And it says it's new every morning. You know why it's new every morning? Because we screw up practically every morning. Or you wouldn't have to make it new every morning. You know, if he really was a car wash, we'd be in line all the time. And we'd be judging other people's dirty cars. And my car's not as dirty as theirs. Yeah, we do that with our lives too, don't we? My life isn't as dirty as Jake's. My life isn't as dirty as Amber's, too. My life isn't as dirty as Kaylee's. Well, no one is as good as Kaylee, that's true. But we got to start letting him wash us and stop worrying about washing each other. We don't become serious about that. He's either Lord or he's condemner. And those consequences are harsh. So my question I leave with you today, I'm going to end with two. We're ending so early. Have you ever accepted payment for your sins? Like, I have. And there's a room of people who have. And I don't, this is always the uncomfortable moment, but maybe you never have. Maybe you walked in today like, I never really let him clean me up. I never came to him. I never gave him everything. And you're saying he will take no matter what I do, no matter what. If you believe he's the Son of God and he is the cleanser, he died on the cross for you, then you are swept clean the moment you ask him in there. And if you have never done that, I'd be remiss to not give an opportunity. And I know usually this is how it goes most of the time in churches because it's more successful. And maybe you all have, so don't feel the pressure to raise your hand if you didn't. Because some people are like, I'll just raise my hand and make pastor feel better. Because it's awesome. But lots of times we say, bow your head and close your eyes and raise your hand. And that's great and tender, but it doesn't raise warriors. It doesn't raise warriors. It doesn't raise people who can take a punch when they have to from the enemy and they can count it all joy. It doesn't raise successful disciples who say, Jesus, the hard road is the narrow road is difficult, but I can make it. So if that hand is for salvation, then you come up, sugar. If that's what you want, it's here today. He is here. I'm kind of wild. I'll draw one of the girls to pray for you. So if you want prayer for that, and I won't even have to make you come, just because you raised your hand for me, you can just come up later. You don't got to do it right now. And as soon as I walk off the pulpit, there should be a race of women to come and talk to you. Because a lot of them understand exactly where you're at, and I don't even know where you're at, but they get it. What Jesus did for them, Hallie, he'd do for somebody else, won't he? So I'm proud of you for that hand, and may you become a disciple that never looks back. And that your life would change and you change other people's lives. Every life you come to, that's her? What happened? Yeah, you just saw what God did in her life. Woo! And people start talking some of the rumors about what she did in her life. It's the stuff God's doing in her life. And it impacts culture and society and changes families, doesn't it, Jody? Changes them. Jesus. Man. Ah. I could just yell, but I won't. So here's my other question. If you've never accepted Jesus for your sins, make the exchange today. And here's the other one. Do you have confident faith in your eternal life? And if you're struggling with that, grab somebody. Grab Jake. Grab Pastor Justin. Grab Kaylee. Grab Kirsha. Grab Lance. Grab Charity. Grab Pastor Jody. Grab Shaunzi. Grab somebody. You might not know him, say, I don't have confidence in my eternal life. I would like to talk about it. And everyone who accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior should be able to answer that question, not just pastor. Next man up. What if I'm on my way to Fiji and I call and I say, Perez, sucks to be you. You up today? Chris is like, do it, pastor. I see her. She's looking at me with the eyebrows. She's like, pastor, do it. So let me pray with you this morning. And please, sweetheart, come up front and I'll dip and let someone come to you. Father God, I thank you for every soul that sees you, accepts you, Father, and that you become the changing life force that you were meant to be. Lord, you would metamorphosize your church this year into exactly what you want us to be, Father, that our pain, Father, would cause endurance, and that would cause character, Father God, and we would be a more accurate representation of what you look like to the world this year, because you're molding us and shaping us by your ways by your heart, because you are a good, good father. And the church said, amen.